following program is suitable for all ages.
The phone. A certain magic will always linger with the very name. It speaks of courage and fervor and the world's most brutal game. 55, worn by Doug Buffone, a Chicago Bear through and through. He demanded excellence of himself and anyone wearing navy blue.
You tell me what's going on. This is moronic. We're going to get our ass whipped all the way down the line. I want somebody to get kicked in the ass and get out there and play. You're getting paid to play this game. I'm playing right. I don't mind you getting beat. I got my ass whipped many times. But I tell you, I took somebody down with me. You are a professional team. Act like one, for God's sakes.
Football fans, this is Buffone 55. The John Buffone Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Buffone 55. I'm your host, John Buffone. We got a good one for you today. We're going to be breaking down the Bears matchup with the Dirty Birds of Baltimore, the Ravens. The Bears on the road going to Baltimore this weekend, trying to shake off that late loss to the Minnesota Vikings. Mitch Trubisky's initial voyage into the NFL. We're going to be talking a little bit about his performance. But before we do any of that, I'm going to bring on my producer, Aldo Gandia. He was going to go over the premise of this show. Aldo, tell the people how this works.
John, it's very simple. We've got five questions about the Chicago Bears, five questions about the Baltimore Ravens, and you have to answer each one within 55 seconds. Those of you who have been following the Chicago Bears for a long time know that that's the number worn by John's uncle, Doug Buffone, the great linebacker for the Chicago Bears.
I'm excited. I'm ready to break down this Ravens matchup. This seems like a winnable game for the Bears. It's like I don't get to say very often.
It really does. You know, and I got to ask you, last week you said you were tired of seeing the Packers beat the Bears on national TV. Well, how do you feel after witnessing the Bears lose by 3 points to another division rival?
Well, I'm still tired of seeing them on national TV, I can say that. But this one kind of had a different feel to it. Maybe it's just because we're so jaded or callous to the Bears losing now, but it seemed like a game where the score didn't matter, which it still hurts me to say. But I found it quite humorous that a costly turnover at the end of the game did spell the Bears' demise. That just seems like, even though it wasn't like, you know, it was Trubisky and we're expecting those things, it was poetic justice that a late interception kind of did the Bears in. But for me, Monday really wasn't about winning as much as it was Trubisky. Where this team is going in the short term doesn't matter because they're going nowhere in the short term. But where they're going in the future, that's actually fun to think about. So it was fun to see their brand new toy out there, to see what exactly they're going to get from them. And that'll at least make the rest of the season interesting.
You are absolutely right. You know, there's a sense of hope in Chicago that I haven't seen in a long time for Bears football. All right. Well, are you ready to get started with our first question?
Let's do it.
Okay. Mitch Trubisky was 12 of 25. He threw a touchdown pass that was almost intercepted. He did throw an interception, as you just mentioned, on what could have been the game tying or winning drive. And he ended the game with a 60.1 rating. Now, do you think these stats are a fair reflection of Trubisky's debut? John, you're on the clock.
Well, you look over the stats and you think, well, that really wasn't a great line. You look at the box score and say, this kid didn't really do much. But if you watch the game, no, the stats were not eye-popping. And it's not like he had five touchdowns like Deshaun Watson. So, yeah, the bar was set pretty high for rookie quarterbacks already. But I think we saw an NFL arm. I think we saw a crazy accurate guy who can move a little bit. He can throw on the run a little bit. And he was competent with the game plan. Yeah, it was the same. It seemed like the same kind of game plan they had for Mike Glennon. It just seems like Trubisky actually might have had a better grasp on it. He was a little jittery. He was skidding out of the pocket a few times when the pocket was clean. He kind of escaped before he really needed to. And at the end of the game, he got baited by a hell of a defensive back. And I mean, the wide receivers certainly don't help that. But I'm the first one to naysay that when it comes to the Bears. I mean, I don't know. I'm just so cynical when it comes to it. But I'm not all in with Trubisky right now. But honestly, I think you have to be. you have to be positive towards this. You have to be at least excited to you see a guy that looked like he was a competent NFL quarterback.
Well, let me ask you, why aren't you all in with Trubisky? What gives you what makes you hesitant?
I'm still, I mean, it's, I guess it's got to be the experience thing. He's got 13 starts, and that's all. That's still all we got to see of him in college. And now, if he is at the very bottom, and he doesn't have a lot of experience now, but he showed this. Maybe with more experience, he's going to get a lot better, and that's what I'm hoping for. It's just that I don't know. Maybe I'm just cautiously optimistic, or maybe I'm cautiously pessimistic sometimes when it comes to what Chicago's does. But I'm excited about it. I'm at least going to watch it. I'm excited to see where the progression goes.
I hear you totally. I mean, we are such long suffering Chicago Bears fans when it comes to the quarterback position that, you know, it's natural to be a little pessimistic about what's going to happen there.
Absolutely.
All right, question number two. Bears general manager Ryan Pace's 2017 free agent signings included Mike Glennon, $18 million of his contract is guaranteed, Deion Sims, $10 million guaranteed, and Marcus Wheaton, $6 million guaranteed. There were other signings, of course, but these were three of the four more expensive signings. Do you think that was wasted money or not? John, you're on the clock.
I know everyone's going to think that Glennon money was wasted, but the contract was front-loaded, so they can basically cut bait after this year. I mean, if Glennon had $20 million guaranteed, then they might have to keep him for another year, and then, yeah, that's wasted money. But I don't think Bears fans care if the McCaskies are out $18 million if it doesn't really hinder the salary cap so much. He kept the seat warm for 5 weeks. They rolled the dice. They hoped that he'd be a capable guy to, you know, kind of keep Trubisky off for a little bit, and he wasn't. But there's really no long-term commitment here, and here we are with Trubisky. And I said this before on previous shows. Can you imagine if they wouldn't have drafted a quarterback? And I was as critical as anyone when it came to whenever they took Mitch Trubisky because I thought they had other needs. But can you imagine? It's like Glennon or bust for this entire year, and then you have an entire season with no hope and nothing to look forward to, and maybe we have a new safety. But to go on with some of these free agents, Sims, he shows some flashes. Once again, I think there's an out in his contract in 2018. They're going to save some cash there, another transition guy maybe to Adam Shaheen. Wheaton, he was a roll of the dice to get some value. The wide receiver market wasn't really great after they let Alshon Jeffrey go. They tried to get some potential, and get guys like Kendall Wright and Wheaton, it was just a swing and a miss. So Bears fans, they can be mad about the talent evaluation. I don't know if they should be overly mad about the wasted money.
John, I got to tell you that regarding question number one, you're getting a little heat from our fans on our chat board at MixLR.com. Draft Dr. Phil, who, of course, is very well known here at the Barroom. He's one of our primary analysts. He says that the offensive coordinator lacks creativity and abandoning the rush crushed the Bears' true climb of Trubisky. Suboptima Life says, we as a Bears community have an obligation to not allow Trubisky to be crucified. Not that you are crucifying him.
Trust me. I think they need to rally around him. And and granted, the play calling is about as vanilla as it gets. But it does lack creativity. However, maybe it's just me looking at this as like, oh man, I don't want to crush my own dreams. I don't want to be so positive that if I think this guy is the next coming of Aaron Rodgers or Brady, and then 2 or 3 years it doesn't happen. I don't know if I can handle that. Maybe I'm being selfish about it. Maybe because I don't want to be let down. It's like you're in so many relationships. I went through the Cade McNown phase. I went through the Rex Grossman phase. I went through the Kyle Orton phase, which really wasn't that bad. But when you think about it, if you think that's not that bad, what are you really comparing it to? So I mean, we went through the 8 years of Jay Cutler. Maybe I'm just ready to put myself out there yet.
I totally get where you're thinking. All right, now question number three. After a 10-27 record for Bears head coach John Fox, we here at Bears Barroom have started a campaign called #FireFox. We're going to be posting lots of stories on the website, giving our case why it's time for John Fox to no longer be the head coach of the Chicago Bears, and the sooner the better. We're going to post podcasts, special podcasts dedicated to the topic. We're going to have some videos and movies. So we all want to know, John, if you are with us or against us. Now, I gotta tell you, there's a mob of people on the chat room, and you are on the clock.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to say that the marketing for this sells itself. If we don't get an internet browser sponsorship out of this, I don't know what will. But you know what? I'm with you. And I don't take that lightly because we are talking about a guy's livelihood. But this kind of has to end. I previously stated that I wasn't thrilled about the hiring when it happened. I think the Bears took the safe approach after the Trestman experience was a fantastic failure. But I think we got to be careful about this because they need stability with a young quarterback. Remember Alex Smith, who got a new coordinator every year in San Francisco and really didn't catch on until Harbaugh came in, and later on he got Andy Reid with a little more consistency. That being said, I don't think John Fox is the stability that they need. They need to get a guy that's somewhat good at developing quarterbacks. You're looking at maybe a Josh McDaniels, maybe a Harold Goodwin, who's in Arizona under Bruce Arians right now. I mean, the best name in the world to say is Jim Bob Cooter. On name alone, he should be a candidate. And you're also looking, guys, maybe they can pull Harbaugh away from Michigan. I mean, these are all pipe dreams at this point. But former special teams coach with Chicago, Dave Tobe, maybe he's a guy that can come in and rally the troops a little bit. But you need to find the guy who's going to be the Sean Payton to your Drew Brees or the Bill Walsh to your Montana. At this point, I think the Bears would accept anything of that at a smaller degree.
Right. Well, I totally get where you're coming from. You've got to not only fire him, but you better replace him with the best quarterback coaching staff out there, because you're banking a lot on Trubisky. So what you're saying makes 100% sense to me.
And we went through this before with Lovie Smith, where it was average and it was okay, but they wanted more. And what did they get? They got a hell of a lot less. So if you feel confident in firing the guy, you better make sure you got your ducks in a row to make sure you have someone who's going to actually do a better job. And they took a couple steps back after they fired Lovie Smith. Not that I was completely in Lovie Smith's corner, because I think we were kind of tired with mediocrity and underachieving, but they sure as heck didn't do their due diligence when they went and they hired Trestman and then later on with Fox.
Well, and we got a comment here from Suboptimal Life. He says many of the criticisms leveled at Trubisky are organizational problems, and we must change the organization. And, you know, I'd love to hear your point of view on that. What do you think about the McCaskey family and what they have done with this organization over the years?
Oh, man, it gets harder and harder to really defend. I understand they're staples of the NFL community. They're probably I don't know them personally. I've had some you know, random interactions every once in a while through my uncle, but it's just they seem like fine people, but it's just the decision making, I mean the football making skills seem to be lacking occasionally. And with that, and like the commenter said, it trickles down from ownership to the front office down to the coaching, and then ultimately you see the product on the field. So how do you fix that? You can't just be like, okay, we're gonna fire the owner and bring someone else in. So I think that eventually they got to put in the right personnel people to start making these decisions, and they tried to shake it up plenty of times. So, you know, eventually you catch lightning in a bottle, or at least you hope so if you're a Bears fan.
All right, moving on to question number four from the Bears side of the football. After capturing the imagination of pro football fans across the country in the first quarter of the season, now Tariq Cohen had only 13 yards rushing on Monday night and minus 6 yards receiving. Are you concerned that NFL defensive coordinators now know how to nullify him? John, you're on the clock.
I think they're learning that he's probably not going to take it through the A-gap every time. I think when they see him lined up in the backfield, they're assuming that if he is going to run the ball, it's going to be a stretch play. And I think some of this might be on Cohen as well. I think he tries to turn every play into a home run. Lots of times you see him running around in circles, changing directions, trying to be explosive in 1,000 different directions. And he gets ended up taken down well behind the line of scrimmage. But I think you can't really completely neutralize him. He's too elusive. I think Ryan Pace kind of brought him in to be that Darren Sproles type player, and he's going to have roller coaster weeks. That's expected from a rookie, and that's expected from his role. It doesn't help that the Bears aren't getting much from the receiver position, so the safeties can kind of key in on Cohen without being afraid of being burnt up top. He's going to be a great weapon. And there's plenty of defenses that are going to aim to keep him out of the picture and make other Bears players beat him, which seems to be the issue right now. But if nothing else, he will prove to be a great decoy where people have to pay attention to him. So even if you neutralize him, that should be opening up spaces for other players. Now, that comes back to personnel, but we'll see as that goes along.
All right, good stuff there, John. All right, number five, our final question about the Bears, and it is we have to put a spotlight on the play of Bears defensive lineman Akeem Hicks. He had two sacks, two quarterback hurries on Monday night, and as Pro Football Focus posted on their website, I quote, he almost single-handedly destroyed the Vikings' rushing attack as he made three solo run stops, blew up countless plays at the point of attack, and finished with a game-high 94.1 run defense grade. John, unlike some of Ryan Pace's free agent signings that we talked about earlier, this one appears to be solid gold. I'd love to hear your thoughts about Akeem Hicks. You're on the clock.
Man, this was a guy that they had to re-sign and get kind of lock up. If they do end up building a monster front seven, a lot of that begins with Akeem Hicks. Like you said, four sacks and 11 total tackles. What he kind of brings, though, to the table can't show up on a stat sheet or a box score. He is so disruptive. He creates so many tackling opportunities for the linebackers, and there's no way to really, you know, quantify that. There's no way to say, oh, look what he created on a box score. So you got to watch the games to really know how disruptive he really is. And he's a leader on the defense. He's extremely passionate. And I mean, he made a stuff in the Minnesota game and started going nuts. He got me juiced up. And I use this theory a lot. If I see a guy that would make me want to get up and run through a brick wall, then that's the guy that I want on my team. When I see Hicks play, I want to get on his level. I want to be just like him. I want to be as crazy and as dominant and as aggressive as he is. So if you can have a guy like that who other players can feed off of, then that passion can be contagious. That success can be contagious. And he's only 27. They got this guy through his prime. I think it was a great signing originally, and great to keep him around town.
Yeah, you nailed it. And I'll tell you one thing. When he, in those post-game interviews and anytime he's interviewed during the week, I stop whatever I do, I'm doing, and listen to every word. He's a great interview. He seems like a great guy. I am really happy he's going to be a member of the Bears for a long time. All right, John, listen, why don't you tell the fans that you've got a special place in your heart for the Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah, I mean, I live pretty close. The closest market to where I work right now is the Baltimore market. So I get to see a lot of Ravens games. You can call that the advantage or disadvantage if you want to. So they are on my TV all the time. And there's a lot of Baltimore Ravens fans. There's a lot of Steelers fans from where I grew up. And then I'm in the middle of, you know, Baltimore Raven country here. So it's just one of those things where you'd like to be able to get one up on them so they would be able to shut up for the next 4 years until the Bears probably play them again. So, yeah, I get to see a lot of Ravens games.
Very good. Okay, question number one on the Ravens side of the football. They started the season by beating two bad teams in the Bengals and Browns. Then they lost to the Jaguars in London. I mean, they were blown out. And they lost to the Steelers before they dominated the Raiders last Sunday. Now, based on that 3-2 record against the caliber of opponents they face, shouldn't the Bears have a really good shot at beating this Ravens team, even if it is on the road? You're on the clock.
It's hard to ever say the Bears have a great shot at winning a game. I mean, at least in the last couple of years. The Bears are terrible on the road so far. I know there's only been two games, but they've been outscored in those two games 64-24. The Ravens really haven't beaten anyone good, but, I mean, the Bears are still riding that win over the Steelers in week three. I mean, other than that, where they tried to give the game away in every way possible, and the Steelers says, no, we want you to win this game. So, I mean, we're splitting hairs. The Ravens only averaging 15 points per game on offense. They're allowing 22 points per game on defense. So, yeah, on paper, it looks like the Bears would have a shot in this game. But the Bears are decimated with injuries. They do get Trevathan back. But it feels like one of those games, like, it always feels like, yeah, the Bears have a really great shot of winning this game. And then you turn the game on, and all of a sudden it's like, what the hell? They're down by 13 in the first quarter. So, I mean, on paper, they should have a pretty good shot at winning this game.
oh, if the paper could only go out there on the football field and make some tackles and make some plays. All right, question number two. ESPN's quarterback ratings have some very familiar names ranked at the bottom. There is Mike Glennon, ranked 27th passer in the NFL. There's Brian Hoyer at 29th. There's Jay Cutler at 30th. And then there's the Ravens quarterback, Joe Flacco, at 31st. The big reason he's ranked so low is his 6 interceptions, tied for 3rd worst in the league. Could this be the week that the Chicago Bears defense gets their first interception of the season? John, you're on the clock.
Hey, well, maybe it'll be interesting in Glennon. Maybe we can swap a draft pick for that. but anyway, I think Flacco was absolutely affected by not playing in the preseason. He's making some bad reads. Guys are being left open while he holds on to the ball too long, or he tries to force it, much like we saw with Mike Glennon. There's a reason these guys are towards the bottom in a lot of these rankings. Except for last week, he's thrown a pick in every game. He's also been sacked 9 times. Eventually, he's going to shake that rust off that he kind of acquired during the preseason from not playing. But he does have a touchdown interception ratio of 4-6. So it's crazy to think that the Bears haven't picked off anyone. But if they're going to do it, it should be this week. But that has to start up front. You got to get pressure on Flacco. He's going to get honed in on one guy. And if you see him kind of get a little rattled back there, maybe he throws a duck to the defense. Like I said, it could happen. It should happen. But we've seen in years past, like I said before, where the Bears should do something and then it all falls apart. But if they can get some pressure on him and get him zoned in on a couple guys, maybe he throws a fluttered pass that somebody could at least catch.
It seems like every week there is at least one good interception a possibility that just doesn't happen for this team. And I hope that when that first interception comes and that they come in waves then after that. But we shall see.
Well, Aldo, they don't have receivers that can catch the ball. What are we expecting about the DBs?
Well, you make a good point there. Apparently they need a new jugs machine or something to help these guys with their hands. All right, question number three. One thing this Ravens offense is doing fairly well, at least statistically, is that they have 652 team rushing yards, and they are doing it by committee. Second-year man Alex Collins has 261 yards. Third-year man Javoris Allen has 232. Now, Terrence West has 138, but he won't play this week because he's got an injured calf. The Bears' run defense has been pretty solid, 501 yards allowed, but they're susceptible to big explosive plays like the 58-yard run allowed to Jerick McKinnon on Monday Night Football. How do you view this matchup of Bears' run D versus the Ravens' run game? You are on the clock.
Well, I think while those stats look kind of impressive, I think a lot of those rushing yards have been acquired in garbage time, so I don't know if that's completely reflective of their running game, but I mean, in winnable games, you can't give up those home run plays. The Ravens runners, they're not crazy good. They go in with 3 able running backs most weeks, and usually everybody has fresh legs. Now, they're not going to have Terrence West. That might play a little bit of a factor. But Buck Allen, he's a bruiser at 6'2", 222. You can watch him. He's the guy that's going to be, you know, going in through the tackles. He's the battering ram that's going to try to soften up the Bears' defensive line. And then Collins is kind of a change of pace guy. He's actually averaging about 7 yards per carry, so he's not really the guy to give him any space to. And you can't give Flacco the comfort of a reliable run game this week. And I'm going to say this. I think the first quarter is going to say a lot about this game. If they come out and punch the Bears in the mouth and run the ball down the field, things are going to play out a whole lot differently than expected. Now, like I said, losing West could play a part in this because his legs, so the other two runners' legs may not be as fresh, but yeah, I think they're able running backs, but I think the Bears' rush defense is gonna come up big this week.
Okay, let's hope. Question number four. The Ravens' offensive line is grading out very well. Now, Leonard Floyd had his best game of the season on Monday. He notched 2 sacks, one of them for a safety, had a quarterback hit. Any chance you think he can continue this progress against this talented Ravens' offensive line? John, you're on the clock.
Well, I mean, the line may be grading out well for the Ravens, but like I said, Flacco has been leaving himself open at times. If the Bears' defensive backs, if they decide they're going to press and take away his first read, then he needs to go through the progression, and he hasn't been doing that all that well so far this year. Not to say that he's not capable, but he hasn't been doing it well so far. So if they can give a couple extra seconds to the pass rusher. Floyd shows that he has the skills of getting around the edge. He had a good week last week. Bradford gave him about 2 hours to make that sack for the safety last week. But, you know, credit Floyd for keeping the motor going. They just need to get the Ravens into some third and longs. I mean, they can't let these routes develop if he's dealing with third and threes the entire game. So I think that they need to take away Flacco's first read, and then they're going to have him, you know, searching for some answers. And if they can get another couple seconds, then the defensive edge rusher should be able to have a little bit of a field day, tee off on him.
All right, we're now to our final Ravens question. Their defensive coordinator, Dean Pees, is well-regarded as a coach who schemes and disguises coverages very well, just the type of thing that rookie quarterbacks struggle against. Do you expect Trubisky to face a lot of foreign looks and to be blitzed a lot? John, you're on the clock.
I think there's going to be a lot of disguising. Any rookie quarterback's going to get blitzed until he can prove he can handle it. But look for some exotic coverages too. Maybe some safety blitzes that kind of shift the coverage, and they make Trubisky find the open guy, or at least find the guy that's going to be one on one with a linebacker. Maybe they're going to try to force Trubisky's hand a little bit. And I mean, Dean Pease has been there for a long time. He's been with the Ravens since 2010. He's been the defensive coordinator since 2012, and he has game planned for plenty of rookie quarterbacks. I mean, for God's sakes, he's in a division with the Browns, so he usually faces about two rookie quarterbacks every season. So this isn't something that he's completely foreign to. So like I said, you should expect some overload blitzes, maybe some zone coverages, debate some throws. We saw some baiting of the throws with the Vikings last week. If Mitch handles it early on, they might ease up on him. But like I said in the previous question, I think the first quarter is going to say a lot about this. So if they're getting to Trubisky early, then he might have some trouble. But if he can find a rhythm, they might be all right.
You know, I want to ask you a question, but also remark about last week that in that Ravens Raiders game, Pease threw everything but the kitchen sink at the Raiders quarterback EJ Emmanuel, who was subbing in for the injured Carr. So I'm sure that game tape against the Raiders is going to be a sample of what Trubisky is going to face this week. And then my final question for you, John, is you're very familiar with playing in Baltimore, that stadium and so forth. How difficult do you think that venue is going to be for a rookie quarterback?
Well, I know Baltimore fans are usually, and this is coming from, I know it from the Ravens point of view, and I know it from the Steelers fans point of view, because I have plenty of friends who have gone to Baltimore for a Baltimore Ravens game. I've been to a Steelers Ravens game. There's really no love lost there. And I mean, we're talking about Steelers and Ravens, obviously, but they try to make it as uncomfortable as possible. And they're kind of the under the radar when it comes to home field advantages, because they can be nasty, and they're educated fans too. So they're the guys that know all this stuff about the other team, and they can get pretty rowdy in Baltimore. It's one of those places where you don't think about when it comes to, you know, jerk fans, but trust me, there's plenty of jerk fans. It'll be a definite advantage, especially with the way the Bears have been playing on the road.
Okay, John, it's time for your prediction.
I was so close last week. I said 17-13 Bears, and they had a chance to kind of make that happen.
They really did.
But let's look at this game. I don't love that they're on the road. I do like some of the matchups on offense to move the ball, at least with the running game. I'm going to say that the defense will create a turnover. I want to see an interception. I'm going to predict that it happens. So I think Trubisky's going to look better. I don't expect his stats to be crazy, but I think he's going to be able to move them down the field for at least a couple field goals. I think he's going to get them to 16 points, and I think 16 points will be enough to win this game on either way. 16 points will be enough. So I'm going to say Bears win this game on the road 16-10. Like I said, 16 points is going to win. So I'm going to say that the Bears are the ones that are going to get it. So that's my prediction. And before we go, I just want to let everybody else know that the Bears Barroom Radio Network does offer a variety of different shows, not just this one, but they got a lot of really unique shows. You guys should probably check them out. For instance, Aldo, you're going to have Ken McCusick on. He's a film analyst for Russell Street Report. He's going to be the guest on Bears on Tap, I believe, on Friday. So if you want to subscribe to the Bears Barroom Network, the easiest way is to go to podbean.com, and in the search bar, just type in Bears Barroom, and guess what? We're going to pop up. From there, you can have it downloaded to any of your podcast delivery channels, and you can do the same with iTunes. All you got to do is type in Bears Barroom, and there you go. If YouTube is your thing, we also have a YouTube channel that offers up analysts on all the Bears players, and you should definitely follow us on Twitter. The snarkiness during Bears games and all through the week is well worth the follow. Follow at Bears Barroom, and you can also find me at JD Buffon. Well, that will do it for this edition of Buffon 55. Thanks for sticking around. If you missed anything, feel free to download it. Give me a shout out on Twitter, or, you know, rip me apart if I said something that you don't like. I'm all about it. So until next time, same time, same place. We'll see you next week.